Alright, so as we are going to continue today, on part 7, the nature of the fallen man, the subtopic that I will give today is, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. First of all, we need to see why the natural man will not come to Christ. Have you ever thought why a natural man will not come to Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 5 verse 40, "But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." That's it basically. The truth is, they are not willing to come to Christ. It does not mean that they don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. You tell the natural man, he will say, "I don't want to go to hell." They have no desire to be delivered from hell. They don't want to go to hell. But they have no desire to be delivered from the wrath of God. Instead of coming to Christ, they will turn away from Christ. Why is it that they will turn away from Christ? What is the reason? Because they don't see any beauty in Christ. They don't see any value in Christ. They don't see anything that desires in Christ. But they will say, they love God, they love Christ, they will say, "I'm very religious." But of course, we saw in our previous studies on John chapter 5 verse 40, Jesus said, 42, Jesus said, "But I know you, that you don't love God." They may have a hypocritical outward form of love towards God, but Jesus also said, "If you don't hold to my teachings, you are not truly my disciples." The natural man, they don't see the grace and the perfection of Christ. They don't see Christ is offered to them in the gospel. And they're not willing to accept Christ because why? They don't want to part away from their sins. They love their sins and they want to continue in their sins. And they don't want to part away with the love of the world. They don't want to part away with the Hollywood movies, with the stars of the Hollywood, their favorite TV movies, TV shows. They don't want to part away with the beauty and the glamour of this world, the material things that they love so much. You've got to deny yourself. They don't want to do that. They don't want to part away with their alcohol, their beer, the parties, worldly parties, the fiestas, the rock concerts, the dancing in the world. They don't want to part away. They don't want to part away with their idols. They don't want to give up. And they don't want to part away with their religion. And they say, "This is my God." Because their God is a compromising God. Their God will compromise with their sin. It's okay to continue with the sin with their God because they have made a God for themselves. It's a God that have made by the church, by the false church. And that is not the God of the Bible. They don't want to deny themselves and carry the cross and go on the rugged, narrow road. They don't want to do that. So rather, they will take the broad road. And Jesus really hit the nail on the head when he said in John chapter 3 verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Hebrews chapter 10, realize I'm giving this sermon not only I'm giving this to a large audience, even though we are small here, because we got a big audience in the internet. So I'm speaking to them also. And we know if you continue in your sins, you're going to fall into the hands of God. And it's the most terrible thing that ever can happen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 is the scripture that says, Hebrews 10:31, the fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. It is the most terrible thing is to fall into the hands of the most powerful living God. It is the most dreadful thing. A man can be an enemy of yours as long as that man is alive. When that man is dead, he's not your enemy anymore. He's gone. But God is not dead. God is alive. He's a living God. He's the most powerful God. And you cannot escape from the judgment of God. The punishment of God is for eternal. It's an eternal punishment. Well, some of you might say, well, I come to church, I attend Bible studies, I read my Bible, I come to the prayer meetings. Tell you, that's very good. But if you don't obey, you know, if you have an outward acts of works, if you are doing this and if you are trusting in those and if you are not truly in obedience in your heart, you are not a child of God. Because obedience is better than all your sacrifices. If you do not obey the word of God, you are the children of disobedience. I'm going to show you that in scripture. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, starting from verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication. Now, if you are practicing these things, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of what? Disobedience. So if you are continually practicing these things, you are a child of disobedience. The wrath of God is going to come. So you have to be very careful what you hear. And I'm going to give you four things to remember now. Four things to meditate and to think about it. And these are very important. If God was your enemy, think about these four things. Number one, if you have an enemy, and let's say the enemy is your neighbor, and then later, your other neighbors became your enemy. Then later, your friends became your enemy. Then later, your relatives became your enemy. And then later, all your mother, your dad, your children, they became your enemy. And then later, everywhere you go, they are all your enemies. Everybody is against you. They hate you. They despise you. How would you feel? You may think, I'd rather leave this world. Because what a miserable situation you're in. Because everybody is an enemy. Then what about being an enemy of God? Your friends and relatives, they are around you, but they're just dust of the earth. Think about the living God being an enemy of you. He is the living God. And He is the most powerful God. Think about it. There's some reason to think about it. Number two, if you continue to be an enemy of God, hearing the word of God, continually disobedience, continue to be an enemy of God, you think you're going to be an enemy of God only in this life. But when you die, just like I said before, if you have a person who has an enemy, that enemy is only until that person lives. When he dies, you don't have an enemy. But in this case, God is being your enemy. When you die, you're going to die as an enemy of God. And God will be your enemy to all eternity. Because God is alive. Think of it. Think about it. If you are an enemy of God, it is not only for this life, it is for all eternity. I'll tell you, there is no reconciliation after death. That means there's no purgatory. Nobody can save you once you die. Nobody can pray for you. There's no prayer for the dead. That's a man's religion. When God appears to you after death, God is coming to you not in love, but in hatred, because He's your enemy. He's not coming to you with pity and mercy. God will appear to you as your enemy forever. Listen, my friend, the reconciliation is on this earth, on this life, not after death. The reconciliation has to do with an enemy. The reconciliation is on this life, on this earth, not after death. Because the mediator is not after death. The mediator is while you are alive. Think of it. If God is going to be your enemy throughout eternity, think about it. Number three, if you continue to be an enemy of God until death, you'll always be God's enemy. While you're alive on this earth, you don't show that you're an enemy of God, because God has restrained you from deep wickedness and evilness. We saw that last week. You may look a very nice person. People around you may say he's a nice, good person. Even in your heart, you will say, oh, I am good. I'm a good person. I help people. I'm kind to other people. Yeah, in public, you may be good. I'll tell you, when you die, God has restrained you on this earth as you're alive, that you will get into more like Hitler or Pharaoh. But once you die, God, there's no restraint anymore. God is going to take that His hand of restraintment. And after death, God is going to remove the restraint, and in hell, your true nature will break up in full force, without any control, because God has taken His hand away. You will face the full wrath of God in the fires of hell, when the divine vengeance will come upon you, as God has removed the restraint. God will remove your outward righteousness. Your outward religion will be removed. Your outward hypocritical love and religion will be removed. He will take away your sheep clothing. He will take away your mask of hypocrisy. He will take away all that you put on to show your goodness, and that you will stand totally naked before God Almighty. I tell you, once you are totally naked before God Almighty, His restrained hand has taken away, your true nature will come out. You will be like a viper hissing at God while you are tormented in hell. You will come full force at God with cursing, with malice, with all blasphemies against God. You wish for a drop of water to cool your tongue, but you will find none. And there will be, it's not going to be a new corruption that is in you, but it's the old corruption in full force, because God has taken His restraint away. What a miserable way to spend eternity. Think about it. Think about it. Number four. It is God who made you. It is God who gives breath every time. It is the Lord who gave a brain for you to study. It is God who gave you a job, food to eat, a place of shelter for you to live, clothes to wear. Your time on this earth, as we read Psalm 90, is very little. As Psalmist said, it's like a sigh. A sigh is just like a yawn. One day you will die, and we all will die. And you will go back to where you came from, to dust. Your beautiful bodies that you put all the makeup and that you spend all the money to make your body so beautiful, it will be rotten. Worms will be eating, and you'll be a carcass with smelling odor. Remember, Jesus said, spend your money in heaven. We should not get caught up to this world. Death is going to come, and God, your life is in, He has given you everything. That means your life is in God's hands. One day He's going to arrest you with death. Then all your dear ones, your closest friends, your mom, your dad, and your closest friends, you had to depart. Once death comes, you had departed from them. You will stand in before God as an enemy. I'll tell you, you are in trouble. When you're in trouble on this earth, there's always somebody to rescue you. You can call your friends. They'll come and help you. Your mom is there. Your dad is there. Your children are there. You have the church sometimes who will help you. But I'll tell you, once you die, there's no one to help you. It's you and your God. And if your God has been in your enemy, what a terrible situation is that going to be? There's no help. There are no friends. Is the God that you despise, is the Word of God that you didn't care about, you didn't want to study, that didn't take time. And even Jesus said, if you don't obey my word, you are not truly my disciples. And if you are alone, there's no one to help you here, except there's God. But if God was your enemy, you're in deep trouble. But if you were the best friend, if you are a friend of God when you are on earth, just imagine the other side of the story. If you're a friend of God when you're on earth, Abraham was a friend of God. Oh, I'll tell you, it would be the most joyous time for you to be on with God. It would be the time that you're looking forward to be with God. And you're going to meet Him. But if you were disobedient to His word, not praying, you didn't have any you didn't have any need showing that your filthiness, your rottenness, and asking God to make you holy for you to grow. There was no need to come to the fellowship. You did not have time. You were not truly in love with Him. Just like the psalmist said, kiss the Son lest He be angry and you perish from the way, and His wrath is kindled but a time. But blessed are those who trusted in Him. Kissing the Son is now, not at that time. It's too late. You did not want to kiss the Son when you were on the earth. Now you're alone, facing God as an enemy. You have no friend to rescue you. You have no power to escape. What a dreadful thing it's going to be as God being your enemy. Time is coming when rich and poor, they are all going to face the judgment of God. And if God is going to be your enemy, who is going to stand for you? No lawyers. You cannot appeal. There's nobody. What a miserable condition that's going to be. Think about it. Think about it. Turn with me to Job chapter 21:30. Job said, 21:30 says, for the wicked are reserved for the day of doom, for they shall be brought out on the day of wrath. They are reserved for the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. You know what Job is saying here? What he's saying here is, you will see the wicked, they are flourishing on the face of the earth. You will see the wicked, they have a lot of money. They have great jobs. They have a lot of wealth. They have a lot of comfort. And they spend their time to gratify their flesh for themselves. The wicked, they will even look beautiful. But Job is saying, God has reserved them for the day of destruction. God has reserved them for the day of doom, where the wrath of God is going to fall upon them. Also, if you turn with me to Psalm 37:20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadow, shall vanish. Into smoke they will vanish away. Psalm 37:20. Actually, the old King James is better. It says here, but the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. I like that better because it gives a meaning. The meaning is this. The wicked are going to, the word when it says the wicked are going to perish, it means they are going to vanish in an instant. They are pretty rich, they are all comfortable now, but they are going to vanish. Suddenly they are going to vanish. They are fed now as the fat of the lambs, you know, they are fed now. Just imagine the fine restaurants. They are fed now. You can be fed good to your body. All the luxurious food, and many other peoples in this country are overweight. But they are fed for the day of slaughter. That's what the psalmist is saying. They are fed for the day of slaughter. Think about it. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. The Word of God says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 13 says, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth will move out of their place in the wrath of the Lord hosts in that day of his fierce anger. He is comparing this to the Babylonian Empire. Babylonian Empire was very arrogant. They had everything. Very proud. Extremely haughty. But I'll tell you, the wrath of God is going to come. And when it comes, it's too late. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10. Is the true God, he is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide this indignation. Now I gave you some four things to ponder, to remember, to think about it, and to meditate. Maybe this message will not penetrate to some of your hearts. Why? You're living in great security now. You don't really feel it. You think this is maybe it's like a story that I'm hearing. Maybe it's not really later. So I don't really feel it, because you are living in a home, you have the comfort, you got a job, you got the money in the bank, and you get a salary every 2 weeks. So you don't really feel it. You got parents, you got a husband, you have friends, and maybe you got a church, you know, we got everything surrounded us. So it's not really penetrating into the heart, maybe. But if you are going to be disobedient in hearing the word, continually being disobedient, and I'll tell you, you are an enemy of God. Enemy of God. There is a time that will come that you will have to say goodbye to every one of us. You will have to say goodbye to your mom, to your dad. We don't know what time that's going to be. You'll have to depart. If you love this earth so much, you'll have to say goodbye. If you love it so much, you'll be like Lot's wife when the day of destruction came, and when the angel said, don't ever look at Sodom. But she, I'll tell you, her heart was so much in that worldly city, she had to look back, because she saw, how can I leave this place? And she became a pillar of salt. So some of you who are so much into worldliness doesn't want to carry the cross, doesn't want to deny yourself, it's like flower today being grown up, tomorrow it's gone. And then you'll have to face the living God. And when you meet Him, I'll tell you what a fearful thing it's going to be to fall into the hands of the living God. If that's the case, if you have been continually living in disobedience, especially children, you need to hear this, because I'll tell you, there's so much peer pressure today around you. Just because everybody else is doing, your friends are doing, then you don't have to copy the world. The Bible says we need to come away from the world. We need to be different, as we are a royal priesthood. We are different. We are a holy nation. That means we are being set apart to serve God, not the world. So all what you're watching on TV and everything what you're doing, you might say, well, I will live longer. You may not, because you don't know. And this is the time to serve the Lord, not later. But I'll tell you, so on the other hand, for the Christian, it's going to be totally different, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God when you meet Him. Either it will be a full out terror, or it's going to be a great comfort. For the true Christian, it's going to be a great comfort. True Christian, because the true Christian took the narrow road. The one who denied himself and carried the cross, the one who, you know, the natural man, when he sees something, I like that. I want to get it. Because it's flesh. But the true Christian, I know, my flesh is weak, I like that, but I'm going to deny myself. The natural man, when he says, oh, look at that person, I really like that person, I want him, I want her. And they will do everything to get that person. That's the flesh. The natural man, when he sees that, I like that movie, I want to get it, he goes by flesh. That's the natural man. He wants to get whatever he sees, whatever he likes, he wants to taste. That's the natural man. But the true Christian is going to deny. He's going to take hardship. I'm going to deny my flesh. I'm going to crucify this thing. The natural man will say, oh, did you hear the story? I'd like to tell somebody else. You know, the gossip, the covetousness, the greediness. That's the natural man, as we saw in Colossians. But the true Christian is going to endure hardship. Enduring hardship is truly denying this flesh. It's not. That's the taking the hard, rugged road. The true Christian, when he falls into the hands of the living God, is going to be the greatest comfort. It's going to be your rest from your labor. No more tears, no more pain. It's going to be that you're going to be rested for eternity in the hand of the living God. He's going to comfort you. The word here, falling into the hands, is a common expression meaning falling into the power of somebody. Here in this context, in Hebrews 10:31, it's falling into the power of an enemy. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 14, David is saying, And David said to God, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great. Do not let me fall into the hand of man. For the Christian, it is better to fall into the hands of the living God rather than being fall into the hands of man. Isn't that great for the Christian? For the one who is carrying the cross? It is better for us to fall into the hands of the living God. Well, there's still time for repentance, huh? As long as you're taking breath every time, there's still time for repentance. But you don't know what time is that last breath is going to be that you're going to take. And I pray that the Lord will awaken your soul, that you will be grieving of your sins, and that you will leave the sins that you love, and that you will depart from those sins and cry out to God and tell God, God, be merciful to me. And there is time for repentance. And that's why today is the day of salvation. You need to examine yourself and see your condition, and you know what who you are. It's easy to fool everybody. You know who you are. You know in your heart the hidden sins, the pet sins, all those things you know very good. That's why in the light of God's word, you need to make friends with God. Otherwise, you're going to be an enemy forever. Because once you make friends, I'll tell you, no matter how bad you were, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, there's fellowship with God. Now, you're a friend with God. And the blood of Christ, I'll tell you, it's all because of His blood, because of His righteousness. Blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Let's pray.